So gold futures topped 1,400 for the first time. Why does that matter? It's because of the current currency concerns happening before the G20 talks. It has people again bringing up those magic words, gold standard. We're asking you, if gold is not the standard and neither is the dollar, what do you think should be the standard?
This is Billy from Boston, Mass. If it wasn't gold that we'd use, I'd probably use rice. Rice is such an international staple. It's such an important part of food and our relationship to food. Why not rice in place of gold?
Give us your suggestion on what should be our new gold standard at 8778MYTAKE. But is the era of the dollar really over? Simon Johnson joins us. He's a professor of global economics and management at MIT Sloan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, it's not just the gold standard that's come up, although nobody's seriously suggesting going back to the gold standard. But the other phrase that keeps coming up for at least the past year is Bretton Woods. Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, said that we have to go back to Bretton Woods and start from scratch. The Greek minister said that we need to go back to Bretton Woods. What exactly do they mean when they say that?
Well, Bretton Woods refers to the monetary system built after World War II, built at the instigation of the United States with its allies, that really has underpinned a great deal of prosperity that spread around the world. It was a particular monetary system. Initially, everybody agreed to peg or fix their exchange rates. In the early 1970s, we moved to today's system, which is much more messy, as you know, with a lot of floating exchange rates that move around determined by the market. But increasingly, people are asking, could we find a better way of arranging international finance?
So are you saying that what Sarkozy means, for example, is, I mean, he said we need to start from scratch. Does he mean scrapping what we did in the 1970s and going back to a blank slate?
Well, nobody knows what Mr. Sarkozy means at this point. France is going to chair the G20 next year. So the summit coming up is in Seoul, Korea, and then the baton will pass to France. So the French have an opportunity to lay out an agenda, but it's completely vague and fuzzy. Nobody has really put any serious ideas on the table at this point.
So, Simon Johnson, you described the transformation from the 1944 Bretton Woods system to what we have today in the 1970s, at least implicitly, as relatively orderly. In fact, it was a sort of a blow-up that was instigated by Germany when the U.S. printed dollars to pay for Vietnam. All of a sudden, the Swiss pulled out of the system, and you know, there were wage and price controls in the United States. I mean, are we approaching a situation now where the orderliness of the dollar as a reserve currency has eroded to the point where someone like China could pull the same lever that the Germans did in the 1970s and set a new round of chaos afoot?
No, I don't think so. The fundamental difference is the 1970s had a lot of inflation. And Bretton Woods, the original system where you fix the value of your exchange rate against other people's exchange rate, just wasn't consistent with inflation 5, 10, 15% in major countries. So that is obviously very far from what we have today. China, it's true, does have a large outstanding balance of U.S. dollar assets. The Chinese government probably holds $2 or $2.5 trillion. But where are they going to take their money? Are they going to take it to Europe, to the euro? Well, the euro has very serious fiscal issues, and the probability of default in Europe, according to the market, is higher than ever right now. Are they going to take it to the other traditional reserve currencies, the British pound, the Swiss franc, the Japanese yen? All of these currencies have problems, and moving $2 trillion would not be easy at all unless you want the price of the dollar to fall. And, of course, if you're the biggest holder of dollars in the world, which is China, you don't want the price of the dollar to fall.
So what explains all this bile and anger at the G20 summit?
High unemployment. Look, we had a massive recession. The big banks blew themselves up, caused tremendous damage around the world, and we're still seeing the consequences, including in the midterm elections in the United States. People in the United States are very upset. People in other countries are very upset. There's tension around China's exchange rate. The international system doesn't function in a beautiful way. That's true. But it is very hard to find a replacement that would be consistent with today's dynamic, flexible, up and down type economies. And the big issue, I would stress, that's being missed by the G20 is the regulation of these global megabanks. The global megabanks damaged the system massively in 2008, and they can and will do it again.
Well, Simon Johnson of MIT Sloan, let me ask you, I mean, arguably the reason that we got the first Bretton Woods agreement and the Nixon shock and Bretton Woods II was because at those points the United States still maintained an unshakable position. We were the strongest economy. Is that still going to be the case if we go back to a Bretton Woods philosophy? I mean, will there be anybody who's in a strong enough position just to sort of get their policy approved?
Look, if you go back to 1944, obviously the United States was the predominant power in the Western trading world. And the U.S. largely drew up the rules under which the system would operate going forward, with help from other countries, it's true. Nobody has that kind of predominance anymore. If Mr. Sarkozy wants to convene a new Bretton Woods conference, fine. But who's in charge? Who's going to decide what the parameters are? The G20, as you'll see this weekend, is a pretty ineffectual talking shop at this point. Nobody has the economic and political leadership necessary to change the rules. So we'll stay with what we've got, which is not terrible from a trading point of view. It is, however, unfortunately a disaster from the regulation of capital point of view, in terms of capital flows, in terms of particularly the kinds of risks that the big banks can take. You won't hear that at all discussed by the G20. They will close their eyes and pretend that doesn't exist as a problem. That's the major danger going forward.
So you're saying this is all kind of political bluster, that all this talk about starting from scratch and even the talk about possibly losing the dollar as our reserve currency is not likely, and we're going to end up still continuing to operate under the rules we've had since the 1970s?
I think substantially the rules will remain the same. The rules do change over time. It's somewhat more fluid than just saying it's exactly what we got in the 1970s. But it is definitely true. There's a great deal of political bluster and a great deal of posturing around people saying, oh, we'd like to change the system and it really needs to move in this or that direction. There is some movement away from the dollar, I think, over the longer term. That's because other economies around the world are growing up. They're getting richer. And it's sensible for them to diversify the reserve currencies that they hold so they don't just hold the dollar. But what else are they going to hold? There is no other currency that's big in terms of the liquidity of its market and unproblematic. So the system is not going to change or move away from the dollar anytime soon.
Well, then how do we, I mean, is there, but you do think but behind all the political bluster, there's a real need to alter our monetary fiscal policy?
There's a real need to alter our regulation of global megabanks. These are incredibly dangerous. They've been allowed to spread around the world without effective supervision or regulation. They blew up in 2008, 2009, causing enormous devastation. They need to be reined in. The Basel III capital agreement's not going to do it. The G20 summit's not going to do it. The French, I believe, are not going to do it. This is the big hole in the international debate. And talking just about Bretton Woods and the monetary system and so on and so forth, I'm afraid sometimes becomes a smokescreen for refusing to deal with the excessive concentration of power that has developed at the heart of the global financial system.
Simon Johnson, professor of global economics and management at MIT Sloan and former chief economist at the IMF. Thanks for joining us. If it's not gold, what should be our standard?
This is Jessica calling from Columbia, South Carolina. And if I were to choose a new gold standard, I think it would have to be a cash crop, such as marijuana.
If it's not the dollar, what do you think it'll be? 8778, my take.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.